Jared Doyle Show.
Hillary Clinton's book out today, Hard Choices. Getting a lot of press, getting a lot of buzz, getting a lot of conversation. Back with us to continue that conversation, Anita Findley, author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, which is a lot about the harsh treatment that Hillary Clinton received in her last presidential go-around, spent 4 months, number one position, Amazon.com's Women in Politics list. Anita, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
A lot of what I've been reading has been basically saying, whether it's the Iraq war vote or whether it's the friction between Bill Clinton and Barack Obama over race, that all of this stuff has been addressed in the book now, and basically we can stick a fork in it. It's done, and it doesn't have to be discussed going forward. I'm reading one article, Politico, about the Iraq war. It says, with regard to, she says, I got it wrong, plain and simple. The author of the piece, Maggie Haberman, says, saying it now is certain to strike some of her critics as coming too late, but it tables the issue for good and gives her something to refer to in the future if she's asked about it in a campaign. Does getting the Iraq war vote wrong get tabled because she writes about it in her book?
Oh, no, Jerry, you know the answer to this question. Nothing gets tabled. Nothing is ever tabled because, obviously, you know, people will drag up Monica Lewinsky's blue dress 20 years later, and that has about as much relevance as, you know, I don't know, my garden. I mean, who cares? But I think the fact of the IWR is very interesting for a number of reasons. We know 77 senators voted for it, including Kerry and Edwards. But what was also interesting in the 2008 campaign is that she is the only one who was raked over the coals for giving the president the benefit of the doubt that this was a vote for forced diplomacy. What is not mentioned is that the following day, she and the late Senator Byrd went to try to restrict Bush's movements further, and that failed, and we saw what happened. But, you know, Barack Obama made a big point, a campaign point, and got points for this, for saying, well, I was against it. Well, from where were you against it? You made a speech nobody ever heard of that you had to go into a studio to re-record for posterity. So, you know, it's a little different being under the kind of pressure she was as the junior senator from New York, having been hit with the most horrible terrorist attack in our nation's history. So, you know, yeah, it's good of her to say, you know what, I got it wrong for whatever reason. But like the other point you made, which I thought was wonderful about, well, you know, now all the friction between Obama and Bill Clinton is over with. Look, obviously, she's going to be very diplomatic. She even says at the beginning of the book, there's things I will share with you, and there's things in the name of not, you know, bashing a sitting president. She doesn't say
right.
those words. But that's what she basically says, that, you know, that is the code. I will not do that. So clearly, you know, she's walking a fine line here. This is not like Bob Gates, the former Secretary of Defense's book, that was more of a tell-all and that he really let it all hang out, feeling that, you know, he's had a lifetime of service and then some, and he's not going to do this stuff anymore. So, he, you know, what does he care? He's all, you know, devil take the hindmost kind of a thing. She's clearly not going to do that. And, you know, an interesting thing about that, Jerry, she got a lot of grief both ways. Media gave her a lot of grief, saying, well, she's going to be a backstabber, and you see when Obama points her what's going to happen. Of course, that never happened. And then, by any chance, she didn't let there be daylight between the two of them, then she gets a lot of grief for that, too. So I think that, you know, they're going to pick over the scab until they draw blood. It really doesn't matter what she says.
Yeah, what she was saying after the Iraq war vote was that, I didn't give the president authorization to use the military. I gave him authorization for more negotiations, for more sanctions, to let more time pass for the United Nations and our NATO alliances. That's what she said then. Now she's saying, I got it wrong, plain and simple. But that's not what she said back then. And I have the resolution that she voted yay for. There were 77 yays and there were 23 nays. In addition to Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden voted for the war. John Kerry voted for the war.
Right.
Harry Reid, Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein. And it seems that as time has passed since that authorization to use the United States Armed Forces against Iraq on the basis that there were a biological weapons program and advanced nuclear weapon development programs that needed to be put to rest. It seems as if, as time has passed, that the Democrats who voted in the affirmative have gotten a pass, and the Republicans who voted in the affirmative are the ones that are branded with Bush lied and people died. And that, to me, isn't something that I think can be glossed over. When you sign that joint resolution to authorize the U.S. Armed Forces against Iraq, which was signed back in 2002, talking about how al-Qaeda was responsible for the attacks on the United States, its citizens, its interests, including the attacks of September 11, 2001, are known to be in Iraq. That's a serious whoopsie. That's a little bit more than just, well, you know, we had bad information. And a lot of people are trying to take a pass on voting for that war, where unfortunately, a lot of men and women died, and a lot of people now come into question why we went there in the first place. So,
well,
I understand.
Go ahead. Are you really trying to say that when the President of the United States and his most senior military advisors get up and present information that they did and that the Congress believed, that, you know, when the President had the entire country at 90% popularity, people were uniting behind him. We, you know, I didn't vote for him. I didn't like the guy. No due respect, but, you know, we would have given him anything. Are you trying to say that they should be faulted for believing what they were told? I mean, you know, wait a minute. I'm not saying, just understand that I'm not saying that people are blameless on one side or the other. That really is not true. You know, I'm very fond of pointing out that there's a lot of blame to go around. But, right. You know, very few people out there even bother to go as far as she did, to say, look, I got it wrong, plain and simple, and here is what it is. Do I think that's the end of it? No, of course it's not the end of it. But I don't. She paid a very big price for that vote in 2008. There is no doubt about it. And it was
not
a price that others were asked to pay. So
but not as big a price.
She got a pass.
Not a bigger price as people who lost their lives or their arms and their legs, who are rehabbing in Walter Reed.
I'm talking politically, Jerry.
I think I understand that when the president, his advisors, and all these teams get together and they put out all this information, and there's so many things that these people are addressing and voting on that they really know nothing about. It's just what their handlers tell them they should do, how they should vote, the focus group, all that stuff that goes into play. But when it comes to war, I think that this is something where due diligence and uber due diligence is most necessary. And a lot of people, as time has passed, Republican and Democrat, are getting a pass on the foolhardy decisions that were made that cost people their lives in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and it will be in Syria and Egypt and every other place that the military-industrial complex thinks that we need to go to make more money for the bottom line, and we're using soldiers as mall guards to advance this agenda. I think this is one area where everyone should be held to account for their vote and need to explain it even further than they did and do now, as she does in the book that came out today, Hard Choices. I think that this is something that really has to be looked at, because I think finding out how she decided to vote that way and when she knew it was a mistake. Did she know it was a mistake when she wrote the book? Did she know it was a mistake a month in, a year in, 5 years in? But now it seems as if enough time has passed that maybe some of the wounds, political wounds, have healed, where it's okay now to say you made a mistake because that's in the rearview mirror.
I'm not sure about it being in the rearview mirror. It's a little bit unfair. You know, I'm so pleased always to be talking with you, Jerry, and to discuss anything and everything you like. But, you know, we are both at a disadvantage here because the book just came out today, and I don't trust anyone's excerpts and talking points. You know, I've read some of it. I haven't read all of it yet, so I'm sure that she will address this issue in detail. And, you know, then when I've read it, then we can talk about, well, am I just throwing it into the rear view and that's the end of it? And all due respect to Maggie Haberman at Politico, but here's another one who looks to be negative and pick at every scab. So whenever I read any reporter, I kind of look askance. I mean, what I thought was interesting, I don't know if you saw this report from Kim Gaddis, who is the BBC correspondent who covered Hillary Clinton in her last 4 years as Secretary of State. debate, she really talked about what's driving Hillary, and it's not what you would think in terms of what might drive her to get into the race. And that it was an excellent, excellent report that was in the Daily Beast, and I encourage everyone to read it. It's Kim Gattas, G-H-A-T-T-A-S. But the thing that it brought into sharp relief for me was the stuff that Diane Sawyer didn't talk about. She sort of, forgive me, had a kind of a condescending, pitying, you know, oh, do you really think you ought to be running, and do you really think, you know, it was just rather negative to me, but it was a kind of a gotcha in a lot of respects. And I thought, you know, there's so much that Hillary writes about that she has lived through, that she brought to bear as Secretary of State, that might actually help the American people in terms of the knowledge that you're asking for. And those are things that we didn't discuss, because she really right. has such very strong opinions about American exceptionalism and what we need to do going forward in terms of our national security, in terms of diplomacy and building our economy back up. And it's like, well, if you're so busy trying to ask when she's going to run, instead of that, which she isn't going to answer, why didn't you ask her some more of these questions that might address exactly what it is you want to know, which I think you have every right to know, by the way.
Yeah, but with regard to, and I think Diane Sawyer was just doing what she had to do, that if she didn't go in that direction, people would have said, why didn't you go there? You know, it was kind of like Jay Leno absolutely. With Hugh Grant. What the hell were you thinking? I mean, let's get that out of the way, and then we can talk about other things. So she could say, well, you know, I did my due diligence on that, and I addressed it with her, and she answered it, and now we can move on. And I think a lot of people are going to be going in that direction that Diane Sawyer did to get some of those things out of the way. But here's the problem I have with Hillary Clinton or Jeb Bush, and we've talked about this a little bit before on the air, is that there are so many people out there that will make this about 1978, 1980, 1981. It'll be about Monica Lewinsky. It'll be about the blue dress. It'll be about Vince Foster. It'll be about Travelgate. It'll be about hog futures, cattle futures. It'll be about everything in the past, when the discussion should be about the present and where we need to go for the future of the country. And I'm not sure that with a Jeb Bush with the Bush name, or with Hillary Clinton with the Clinton name, that we're going to see the media be able to get past the past.
You know, that's a valid point, and I've given some thought to it, but I think that the way the media operates today, that if you have Chris Christie, believe me, as you pointed out with Bridgegate, they've already got enough baggage on this guy to keep on picking at that scab the entirety of his campaign and branding him and getting mired in it. I don't think it's any different for Rand Paul or Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio. I don't even know, you know, who else would the names possibly be. Unfortunately, they're not even considering Susana Martinez. You know, the very popular governor of New Mexico. But, you know, the thing is that it is really not going to change just because you say, okay, Clinton and Bush, I mean, I don't know that Jeb Bush would run, but let's say, okay, Hillary Clinton isn't running. We'll get some new faces. Are we really saying that it's going to be any different? They're going to find some sensational sell copy nonsense to pull out against whoever it is. I think that it's our job to say we're not going to put up with it. That's the only thing that's going to change.
Here's some humor to it, Anita. If Hillary Clinton decides not to run for president in 2016, Fox News is going to spend months talking about why didn't she run and what is she hiding. So even I guarantee you, just like I was watching MSNBC last night, there was a guy subbing for Larry O.D., Lawrence O'Donnell, on his program, and he brought up Chris Christie, he brought up Bridgegate, and he said, and it's the story that never seems to go away. Well, that's because you keep talking about it. That's why it doesn't seem to go away, because you don't want it to go away on MSNBC with regard to Christie, and on Fox News, they don't want Monica Lewinsky to go away because it helps them advance their Republican agenda, like Chris Christie helps MSNBC advance the Democrat agenda. So if we're going to...
I think you're right, Jerry, but the point is that even if you have one of the newer candidates, you know, that doesn't, just because somebody is newer doesn't mean they're better or they have any better ideas or enough or the right experience or foreign policy know-how or economic know-how. I mean, they just downgraded the credit rating in New Jersey, as far as I understand. So there's a lot of ammunition out there to go at any of these people. I think that the media, if they want to be the pick-the-scab people that you've just mentioned, they're going to do that no matter who it is. And, you know, it's really going to be up to us. And like I said to you before, the social media, you know, the power of the social media now, we have an opportunity like we've never had before to get through to that particular candidate and have that person get through to us. And I have a very different view of it. Yeah, I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter, but I'm just more distanced in terms of let the chips fall where they may. I want to see whoever it is, whether it's her, whoever, get out and say what they got to say and let the American people decide. But I'd like them to decide without a filter. And you and I are the ones who have the power to get past that filter. And the people in your audience is the same thing, but only if we will it so and only if we go looking for it. And that is our obligation as citizens.
Well stated. Anita Finley, our guest on the program, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, 4 months, Amazon's number one position, Women in Politics list. I got about 45 seconds left. This might not be fair. I know you played a doctor, Dr. Nora Thompson on The Young and the Restless. I don't know if it was a psychiatrist or not, but put yourself in.
OBGYN.
Oh, all right. Well, even better. But put yourself in Hillary Clinton's. But why would somebody who has that much money and that much power and that much influence want to throw her hat in the political arena for 2016?
You won't like my answer, because she really wants to help. I mean, this is a person who really sees an agenda and believes in American exceptionalism. I really encourage people to read her book and to read more about her. And, you know, whether they decide to vote for her or not, they'll see that her ambition really is based on that. Otherwise, nobody would be loony enough to do this.
Right. Some people say it's stunt casting because she has an opportunity to be the first female president after we had the first black president. You say it's not about being a woman. It's not about being the former first lady. It's about what she thinks that she can do going forward. Yeah?
Absolutely. 100%.
Well stated. Very good. Very passionate. Very informed. Anita Finley, thanks for joining us on the program. We'll do it again.
It's always my pleasure, Jerry. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.